Welcome to Media Business on the Michigan Business Network. I'm your host, Tony Connolly. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tyler Thiel is with the Anderson Economic Group. She's the Chief Operating Officer. She also serves as the Director of Anderson's Public Policy and Economic Analysis Practice Area. And we wanted to get her back on. We recently had her on the program, but I wanted to talk with her a little bit about the Detroit Lions and a couple of other stories. So, Tyler, unfortunately, we dragged you back here. Thanks for having the patience to come back. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
All right. How's things in your world?
Good. You know, the Super Bowl was slightly underwhelming, not getting to have our Lions in attendance, but it was a fairly exciting game and all the special guests at halftime didn't hurt. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about the Lions a little bit. I know that you have studied and written about the economic impact of the Detroit Lions in the 2024 NFL divisional playoff game, what that meant to the city. Let's talk a little bit about that. How much money are we talking here, and go into some details, if you will.
Sure. So our overall estimate ended up being a little bit over $50 million for that playoff game. When we approach economic impact analysis, we try to give credit for every dollar that is because of the event to substitute for every dollar that is lost because of any given event or development. And then we also try to consider the indirect impact when a dollar is spent due to some economic activity. The power of that dollar doesn't stop there. So we try to carefully apply what we call multipliers that are usually backed up by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics to get at how much spending power that dollar has before it fizzles out or completely leaves the study area that we're looking at.
So what all goes into that number? I got to imagine the typical bars and restaurants, but what else?
Yeah, so for this one in particular, we were trying to capture what we thought might be the local premium that folks selling and reselling their tickets might garner. This was a little bit of a unique experience that we thought might be quite above and beyond the average home game for the Lions in downtown Detroit. So we looked at some of the ticket sales and some of the prices. And, you know, by the time we completed our analysis and started talking to folks about it, 24 hours later, the ticket resale prices were even higher. So it might not capture all of them, but we tried to get at the portion that we thought was from local fans who might have had the opportunity to purchase tickets earlier than your average person. And then we went on to consider more visitor spending as well. For example, the portion of families of four or couples who might stay in a hotel inside the study area, how much they might spend on food and drink and souvenirs while we're there. So that is where we got the original kind of base of a $30 million direct economic impact. From there, we looked at what would be substituted and what would be additional indirect. So when we think about indirect economic impact, we try to carefully consider what industries those dollars are being spent in, and then how much power those industries have in the economy to figure out, you know, the next value of each of those dollars as they recycle. And that's where we get the additional $20 million in additional economic indirect activity.
And a lot of folks that I know, if you go online, if you follow social media, a lot of folks that I know or I was following talked about what they were going to do in their homes. And then it makes you start thinking, well, you got to get groceries. Maybe you had to get gas to get groceries. A lot of folks I knew bought T-shirts and so on and so forth. So I can see how we could arrive at that number.
Yeah, you know, we actually didn't try to fully capture all spending that may have been an addition to that day, but we were trying to focus on visitors. So we started with that base of the 67,000.
And I got to imagine, Tyler, that for the NFC Championship game, although that game was held in San Francisco, that had to have a huge impact. Because again, if you follow the news or social media, that's all we were talking about here in the state of Michigan. And so whether you're talking bars, restaurants, people having watch parties in their home, that had to have a nice impact also.
Certainly. I mean, there are definitely the small businesses that end up overlooked on a weekend day when otherwise they would have had a lot of customers. But I've had quite a few opportunities to talk to some of those small business owners. And in that small sample set, they've indicated they were able to make up the sales later in the week. So some of the restaurants that were able to open up on Sunday that might have otherwise been closed and generate several thousand dollars in revenue, it's a really big boon for them. And hopefully the folks who attended their restaurant enjoyed themselves and they'll come back, and it's a continued indirect activity.
Tyler, when we come back, I want to talk about the NFL draft. It's coming to Detroit. I'm a draft junkie. I usually watch it on TV. I am trying to make arrangements so that I can be down in Detroit to witness that in person. I want to talk a little bit about the impact that's going to have on the city and perhaps the entire state of Michigan. We're talking with Tyler Thiel, who's with the Anderson Economic Group. This is Media Business. Be right back on the Michigan Business Network.
When you fly Lansing, you are just one stop away from over 500 amazing global destinations. The Capital Region International Airport, your gateway to the world. Visit flylansing.com for more information.
Welcome back to Media Business. We're talking with Tyler Thiel from the Anderson Economic Group. We've been talking sports and its impact on the Michigan and Detroit economy. We were just talking about the Lions playoff games and what kind of impact they had. Let's talk a little bit now about something huge that's coming to the city of Detroit, and that's the NFL draft, Tyler. And that should have not only a short-term, but perhaps long-term economic impact on our state as well as the city of Detroit.
Certainly, yeah. We're working on a more detailed economic impact analysis of those events. But short of that being complete, there should be really significant economic benefits from Detroit getting to host this. If you compare to last year's, for example, the Detroit Lions are on such a positive trajectory, have so much momentum among fans, not only in Detroit and in the state of Michigan, but across the country. Downtown Detroit and all the exciting new developments that have been happening down there are on a positive trajectory. And there are several more NFL teams within like half a day's travel than the last NFL draft. So this could have a really great impact.
So how will you really measure those dollars and where they're coming from?
Yeah, so getting at visitor spending and new economic activity due to an event, especially when most of the events are, quote, free to attend, is a whole other animal. So we've had the privilege of doing this many times with things like, you know, the 3-week event of Art Prize in Grand Rapids or other Super Bowls or Olympics. Other things we've looked at are college sports in general in various venues. But like I said, when the event is free, it's a little bit of a different animal. So we have to consider, you know, who's coming just because of that, who's leaving to avoid the crowds, what they're spending while they're there. And maybe most importantly, what's being invested because of the events. So for example, one of the largest inputs that we'll use at the base of our analysis is the portion of the dollars, which I believe is over $100 million, that the NFL will invest in putting on the draft events, and looking at a careful consideration of how many of those dollars are spent right inside Detroit and will stay in the local economy.
This year, the NFL drafts runs from April 25th through the 27th around the campus park area where the stage will be stationed near the Monroe Street Midway and Hart Plaza, and there'll be family-friendly festivities. I remember taking my kids down to the Super Bowl back in 2007-08 in that area, and it was a lot of fun. But in addition to the people who will stay in the hotels and eat or whatnot, all the people from the NFL will be there. The participants of the draft will be there. The accommodations could be, you know, whether it's spending the night, eating, drinking, or whatever, could be 400,000 to 1 million people. Geez, Tyler, I got to think that that's really going to impact a lot of business owners in a positive way.
Yeah, I hope that it will. And I think leaders in the Detroit area, started to think about this in a very nice approach early on to make sure that small and medium-sized businesses are not left behind and to make sure that it doesn't just stop and end there with the draft events, that they continue to build traction, gain momentum, and have good kind of marketing, PR, promo opportunities from all of these events. So there's a great deal of opportunity beyond the 3 days.
Tyler, something else to think about is there are repairs underway for sidewalks and roads, which longer term will benefit everyone who lives and works in that area, as well as those local businesses.
Yeah, so I mean, some of that is publicly funded infrastructure improvement that would have happened anyway. Maybe we're getting the benefit of it being up on a sped up timeline or a little more thoughtfully approached because of the exposure they know they're going to have. To that end, there's probably a little bit of additional spending that maybe would have been better left to the future on a more, you know, predictable trajectory. But those types of substitutions or little bits of leakage really can't outweigh the vast amount of benefit that's going to happen from this. Campus Martius is just a beautiful place to visit, and all the areas around it, there's so many little pockets where neighborhoods and business owners and developers have tried to beautify and focus on placemaking downtown Detroit to make sure it's really walkable and that you're really encouraged to stay there and go on to the next store or the next restaurant and keep the activities and keep the spending going. And I think they'll be able to capitalize on that.
Tyler, perhaps overlooked with these bigger sporting events is the money and marketing and advertising they bring in. Want to touch on that a little bit when we come back. We're talking with Tyler Thiel from the Anderson Economic Group. I'm Tony Conley. This is Media Business on the Michigan Business Network.
At DBI, we do office by exceeding our customers' expectations since 1984. DBI offers more products and services than any other office supply and furniture dealer in mid-Michigan. For office needs, visit dbiyes.com.
Welcome back to Media Business. I'm Tony Conley talking with Tyler Thiel from the Anderson Economic Group. And Tyler, I recently had Mark Hollis on the program to talk a little bit about the bigger sporting events that he's working with, not only the NFL draft, but there are some NCAA basketball games coming in, as well as the repairs to Oakland Hills. And it got me to thinking and maybe wondering a little bit how we may not think about the positive economic impact and the positive things that come out from these large-scale sporting events.
Yeah, at AEG, we've had the privilege of thinking about those several times. You know, in Michigan, we've hosted unique soccer games or, you know, had the benefit of a basketball team who makes it all the way or close to the Final Four in the tournaments. So we've looked at economic impact of these sporting events many times in different approaches over the years, depending on what's going on. And they really do generate just a really nice amount of economic activity, bringing visitors into an area that otherwise may not have visited, staying overnight, eating at restaurants, buying souvenirs, and perhaps most importantly, getting exposure to an area that they might not otherwise have visited, and thinking about planning their next trip to come back and bring more dollars to that area.
So Tyler, we had you on to talk a little bit about Governor Whitmer's state of the state and what that could mean for our state moving forward. Now that you've had some time to really absorb that, any other thoughts come to mind?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily thoughts that come to my mind as much as the issues that I'm continuing to receive questions on since then, the issues that are sort of gaining traction and people are kind of wondering really how would this work. You know, I think free community college is one of those that folks keep talking about. And, you know, I said the day after her address, and I've been saying it since, it can only work if it's done really carefully. On the whole, it's pretty hard to say that investment in higher education is ever bad. In Michigan, we really do need to increase our rate of educational attainment to have any chance of keeping up with our neighbors, with our demographics on the comparison. But if we end up encouraging community college attendance at the expense of our 15 public universities, that will be obviously problematic. You know, there's not as much worry with our large R1, U of M, Wayne State, but those other 15 schools, you know, the Central, the Ferris State, we need to make sure that their attendance and their education attainment rates for that 4-year degree level stay high.
Tyler, when it comes to talking about the economy, when it comes to discussing, you just mentioned education, how do you think we in the media do in covering those events, covering those stories?
You know, sometimes they're so complicated and nuanced that the job of the media to make them understandable to a broad audience while getting all the important details in there is really a huge challenge, right? Like, for example, another issue from the state of the state that's continuing to stand out that I continue to get questions on is borrowing against teacher pensions. And, you know, with Macomb ISD and the MEA and other organizations over many years, we sliced and diced the data and looked at that like 9 different ways. And there's just really no way to save money by going further into debt. I get it that the idea is to potentially provide more benefits now and take advantage of borrowing dollars. But borrowing dollars from teachers for teachers may not be the best source of funds unless it's done incredibly carefully.
When do you think we're going to learn our lesson when it comes to borrowing? And I'm talking on a large scale, like our state or spending. What's it going to take for us to really start getting a handle on that?
You know, it's really difficult because especially in the last couple of years in Michigan, while we have a declining tax base, some areas where we're not able to tax at the statutory thresholds, we've still been able to see surpluses, one-time funding from the pandemic and various programs there. We've been able to pay down some buckets of debt and get caught up on other obligations. So it kind of seems like, okay, we've been, you know, fiscally conservative, we're in a good spot, now we can borrow again, or now we can go back into some old habits and have some more fun or take a breath. But we don't want to end up in a situation where, you know, like I previously alluded to, we have another like 10-year window where we have to tell teachers no on a raise because we're suffering and drowning in debt. So it's just got to be done really carefully. I think debt can be done wisely at low interest rates if it's, you know, bonded at really low numbers. But with high interest rates, it can be problematic.
So how can we in the media be better at reporting on that?
You know, I think we have outlets who, to get the story out, to get more clicks, to get a further traction, sometimes it's the entertainment value. It takes a little bit too much weight. And, you know, if it's not entertaining enough, folks won't read it. If it's too educational, maybe they won't read it. But I think the media just have to strike a balance between getting all that clear information out there, avoiding spin and bias, and making sure the public has, you know, sometimes the historical and the pragmatic information they need to understand how a policy would work.
We've been talking with Tyler Thiel, who is with the Anderson Economic Group. She's their chief operating officer. She also serves as the director of their public policy and economic and analysis practice area. Tyler, I appreciate you so much. Enjoy the rest of your February.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
I'm Tony Conley. We'll see you next time on Media Business on the Michigan Business Network.